be careful listening to anybody who doesn't have the courage, the moral courage right now, to stand up and speak out against their own camp.
Welcome back and welcome to another episode of the Chasing Elephants podcast. We're still in our Leadership Perspective series this summer. It's been a fun ride so far. I know we're getting towards the end of the summer. I don't know if that makes you feel happy or sad, but either way, we're glad you're tuning in. As we finish up, close out, come to the end of our summer and start getting ready for the fall semester where everybody heads back to school and the Friday night lights burn bright and all those different things are happening again. As always, my name is Brent Crow. I don't have my co-host Taylor Glow joining me this week, but we're continuing in this series in which we're able to sit down with some amazing, incredible individuals, leaders who contribute to our SLU family. And this week, I'm incredibly grateful to have not only somebody I look up to, but somebody who is a great friend, Jeff Strucker. So welcome to the program,
Brent,
Jeff.
It is always great to be with you, buddy.
You're awesome. You're awesome. But you and I have, I met Jeff. I'm going to show my ignorance. I was in a room at doctoral seminars. We were both doing PhD work. And we had a professor who had a man crush on you. Let's just be honest. Let's call it what it is. And he kept referencing Jeff. And our professor had a man crush because he had been a sniper, I believe, in Vietnam.
Yep.
And finally I went, man, I'm such an idiot. On day two, I put it to, I'm sitting next to a hero. I'm sitting next to a legend. And I just leaned over and went, I'm sorry, I haven't got to know you the first 24 hours, but by the time we got to that second 24 hours, that second day of class, it was very obvious. And so I got to meet, learn a lot about your story. A lot of people have heard your story. We have about 5,000 folks that are tuning in right now, listening to each episode. Some of them have heard from you, but many of them haven't. They are kind of getting introduced to everything. And so I'm going to ask you probably the easiest and hardest question a person could ask, and that is, could you kind of share a little bit of your journey and kind of just a little introduction to who you are, what you do, how you got to this place in the life and the journey, and just kind of introduce a little bit.
Sure. Well, first, let me tell everybody about that doctoral seminar, because at day two, I'm sitting next to Brent thinking, I should know this guy. And by the end of that week, I had a man crush on Brent. So we're all good now.
And the very next year you were at SLU 201.
Yeah, that's right.
Ever since, and walked the beaches of Normandy with
our
kids.
That's right, man. What a highlight to be able to go to 301 and to go stand on the beaches of Normandy. All of that aside, hey, if you haven't gone to Normandy, sign up for 301.
There you go.
So I got my leadership experience from the United States Army. Joined the Army while I was still in high school. I spent about 23 years in the Army. After retiring, I started serving on staff at a local church, and a couple of years ago started a church in Columbus, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Married my high school sweetheart, who's sitting right next to me, Dawn. Mm-hmm. We have 5 children and 4 grandchildren now. And to be honest, I learned a lot about leadership by watching some of the greatest warriors on the planet in the Army. I learned leadership through the eyes of servants in the local church, a totally different leadership muscle, but every bit as challenging.
Yeah.
And then I often tell people, I learned how to be a leader in the home, being a father and a husband.
Yeah.
And without question, the hardest person, I'll just give you the answer up front, that I've ever had to lead is myself.
There you go.
And still working on that one.
There you go. But your Army experience, you were an Army Ranger. 22 years.
Right.
And he'll never tell you this, folks, but twice Army Ranger of the Year. And I feel like Miss Dawn, I've gotten to know her through listening to all your stories throughout the years. And, but let's talk a little bit about the leadership journey and your perspective on leadership. We're at a kind of a weird place in history. Mm-hmm. We're probably more polarized than we ever have been before. I think the book of Philippians is probably one of the best books we could study right now, because Paul is writing to a polarized culture. Why is leadership right now so important?
Yeah. As you just mentioned, so I got most of my leadership experience under fire. And I mean that like literally Took part in 5 different U.S. wars, many, many deployments in the last couple to Iraq and Afghanistan. And I had a chance to watch leaders under fire. I had a chance to learn how to lead under fire myself as a sergeant in the Army. And now on the other side of a career in the military, and just as a citizen looking at where our country is and what the future is headed, what our future looks like, man, I'll be honest, Brent, I'm concerned.
Yeah.
We've always had, you know, from the very foundation of our country, we've always had differing viewpoints. Our ability to bridge those differing viewpoints is really what's made this society unique in all of human history. But I've told people over the last year and a half or 2 years, what's really, really concerned me is the differing opinions have always been there, but we found a way to respect each other, even though we differ with one another. Now, for some reason, not only do we differ with one another, but we dislike one another if your opinion is different. And that is a really scary future for me.
Yeah.
When I think about the national security of our country and a country that's quickly easily polarized can also be easily divided.
Mm.
And as you know, not far from here is a monument where President Lincoln described what it looks like when a house is divided.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're close to that point in American history. I don't feel like we're past the point of no return, but I feel like we're close.
You know, I've often wondered if, you know, we live in an age in which there are so many narratives coming out of any one individual at any given time. I wonder if some of this polarization, some of this, it's sad, citizens viewing other citizens as the enemy. I wonder if what contributes to this is we have become so much a consumer that we've lost our ability to think critically. And if you're all the time consuming, you never have a chance to process. There's no margin in your life to process ideas, to think critically, to challenge ideas, and to actually get to know somebody's perspective on an idea. Do you think a contributing factor to what's going on?
Yeah, Brent. One of the things I love about you, about Chasing Elephants, is your challenge for people to just think critically. One of the things that I love about SLU is raising up people with the heart of a patriot. But having the heart of a patriot doesn't mean that you blindly accept everything that's told to you, that you kind of weigh it with the weigh the evidence. And yeah, I think one of the dangerous conditions that's happening in our country is people are getting designer news service. So you're getting the news delivered to you in the format that you want to hear it. And that's just because news is a money-making industry. And if people are going to pay for designer news, then they're going to deliver designer news.
Yeah.
But more, I think, dangerous than that is a society that doesn't have the ability to weigh the whole evidence and just simply listens to one side of the narrative, as you just described. And man, when you do that, you can easily be misled and not realize you're misled.
Right.
And by the way, this is the lie of the enemy. This goes back to the very first lie ever told on planet Earth. But when you can easily be misled, that's going to take you down a set of tracks that you don't want to go down. You'll end up somewhere you don't want to be.
Yeah.
Just because you've lost the ability to critically weigh the evidence.
Yeah. So we're trying to help young men and women. Of course, we have a lot of adults that listen as well. In fact, I was walking through the lobby here. We're here at SLU 201 in Washington, D.C. So just so you know, when Jeff, Dr. Strucker referenced just down the road, there's a monument to Lincoln. I know normally we're broadcasting from Orlando. But we're actually broadcasting this episode from our nation's capital.
Yeah, I wasn't referring to Mickey Mouse when I said that.
There is a Lincoln something in Epcot, I think, in Disney, but that's not what we're talking
about.
That's
not it. Yeah.
This is the real one. But you know, one of the things we're trying to teach our students is to be careful who you follow. So my next question is, if you could encourage our audience to look for certain traits or characteristics, what type of a person should they be listening to, following? Because, you know, whether you're on the right or whether you're on the left, what you've said is so accurate. So many of these false narratives are coming at us and they lead to some destructive behaviors. And so how do we then course correct? How do we turn our attention away from algorithms that are meeting our every whim at every moment? And what should we look for in leadership?
I'm going to give you a piece of advice, and most of you are not going to like what I say next, but I'm going to tell you to just turn off the instant news sources.
Yeah.
I mean, turn every one of them off and go back to the news sources that are reporting 30 days after the fact.
Mm.
Because instant news sources will try to get the information fast, but not necessarily accurate.
Mm-hmm.
The guys and gals that are reporting 30 days later who are writing the news journals, and I don't mean the Wall Street Journal, but I'm talking the true news journals that are giving you the 3-page story of what happened three weeks ago, they are criminally guilty of not getting the facts right. Instant news is not. They're just trying to get something out there fast.
Yeah.
So if you were to read those news journals, the critical sources, you're going to get a much more holistic perspective. You're going to get more deets. You're going to get both sides of the story, to be honest with you. But I would tell you, be careful listening to anybody who doesn't have the courage, the moral courage right now, to stand up and speak out against their own camp. Right now, everybody is willing to speak out against the other camp. In fact, their Twitter followers blow up when they speak out against the other camp. But very few people have the moral courage to stand up and speak out against their own camp. I don't think you necessarily try to find those folks, but when you find them, now you've found a voice worth listening to.
Because
now you found a guy or a gal that's in the public arena who says, I stand on the side of truth, even if it's going to hurt my friends or some of my followers to hear what I'm going to say next. I'm going to say it anyway. And I'll be honest, those folks are exceedingly rare.
Mm-hmm.
So when you find them, those are some of the voices to listen to.
Yeah. You know, it seems to me, I've been a student of leadership and leadership theory for a while. And we went through the 90s. I was just a little Hulkster at that point, but we were going through the 90s. And if you go back and read so much of the literature and research that was done, vision is the most important thing about being a leader. And then now here we are 20, 30 years later, and there are literally documentaries being made about those leaders who said vision is the most important thing because they never saw it through because they didn't have the integrity, the character, or the moral fortitude to see their vision through to the end. And I think anytime someone is willing to speak out against their own camp and have that moral courage, it is a sign that they are a person of deep integrity and strong character. What would be some of your favorite leaders in history that you've studied and that you know, because that's the safe question, right? If we do anything in current day, it's like, oh, well, then you lean right or you lean left or you're this or you're that.
Hands down, my favorite politician of all times was a fallen down drunk, but he was a guy who held the world together, literally, single-handedly, and it's Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
1939, the world would be speaking German right now if it wasn't for one man who stood up and really, his entire nation was saying, we need to strike terms of peace with Hitler.
Yeah.
And Churchill just refused. He refused to listen to his camp. He refused to listen to the other camp. He knew that this man was insane, and any kind of peace with with a lunatic itself is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So Churchill is my favorite politician of all times. I have a couple of famous or favorite presidents. I'm a huge Teddy Roosevelt fan, big fan of Ronald Reagan. Just his ability to cause the country to start to believe in themselves again. I'm a big fan of the founding fathers, but specifically guys like George Washington and John Adams, who had the courage to stand up and to risk it all on independence, realizing my name and my family will be the first ones to lose their head if this thing doesn't work. Man, I have some huge American influences, but by far Churchill's willingness, as his ability to stand up and to face basically single-handedly to speak out against where everybody else was bowing down and signing terms of peace. Churchill is probably at the top of my list as a politician. Now I have some military leaders that are at the top of my list. I have some guys like that too, but your audience probably doesn't want to hear about them.
Churchill's first speech after becoming the leader of his country was titled Blood, Toil, Tears, and Sweat. And the speech, if you read it, is only a couple pages long. But it's basically he gets up and goes, guys, I don't have anything to offer you but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. And it just, and for some reason, by the time he got to the end of that speech, all the hankies were out, which in Parliament was a sign of endorsement. All the hankies were in before that. None of them endorsed him, but they walked out. Finally, they were no longer a house divided after that speech. He is a fascinating.
Yeah.
And the fact that he got taken out of office so quick after the war. Right. It's mind-blowing.
England realized we need him and bring him back in because it was a mess after that.
And then he lived to be into his 90s. Yeah.
If I could just say something to the students specifically that are actually to everybody that's listening, let's just be honest. What Churchill did was incredibly unpopular. Mm-hmm. No politician wants to stand up and say, I'm offering you blood and sweat and toil and tears. Mm-hmm. That's not the message you want to be known for.
Yeah.
But it's the truth. And having the courage to stand your convictions when it's unpopular, man, that makes you a guy or a gal worthy of following. Mm-hmm. Because every day it becomes exceedingly rare to see a man or a woman who is willing to stand on their convictions and say what's unpopular, but true.
Yeah. What are some spiritual heroes as you look down through history and maybe even current day, some people that you read, that you look up to, that you've studied their lives, that you would say there's something there that's worth gleaning?
Yeah, I have some biblical leaders that as soon as I get to heaven, I'm making a beeline for some of those guys and gals. And I cannot wait to meet people like Miriam and Deborah, folks like David and Abraham. And of course, some great leaders like Paul and Peter in the New Testament. But there's a couple of church leaders that have always made a major influence on me. If I were to start new and work back, Dietrich Bonhoeffer is a huge hero of mine. His willingness to stand his ground and to give his life for what he believed in, every Christian should have those kind of convictions. William Wilberforce and his commitment to not let up, I will not stop until my country changes or I'm dead, one of the two. But for me, my hero in the faith, one of the fathers of the church that I most want to meet when I get to heaven is Augustine and his stance for truth, his willingness to defend false, gospel and heretics, and the massive influence that he left on the church is still being felt today.
Yeah.
So Augustine's at the top of my list.
When your books are still being printed and you're from the fourth century, you know you've had.
Yep. You got a following then. If Augustine had a Twitter account today,
I'm sure that somebody's got a faux account, a false account for Augustine. Well, let me ask you a couple more questions as we kind of continue our conversation and kind of turn round third base towards home here. As a leader, how important is it right now? As we've talked about the current landscape, we've talked about a little about historical leadership. What are some of the most important practices right now in your life as a leader, whether that be goal setting or certain disciplines or reading or whatever it may be? But if you had a short list of, okay, here's what I'm working on as a leader so that I make sure that I'm always a lifelong learner, so that I'm always a person of character and moral fortitude and certainty and have that courage and all those different things. But what would be, what are you striving for as a leader?
Yeah. Without question, number one on my list, by a long shot, number two and three aren't even close, is to be a leader who loves well.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually not the language that warriors use when they talk about leadership, but the more time that I spent in the military and on battlefields, the more powerful I saw the love that a follower has for a leader and a leader has for those that follow them and what it can do. And love will accomplish more on a battlefield, which I believe means it will accomplish more in politics or in the workforce or in the home than any other trait of a leader. So Brent, one of my greatest challenges, and I said it just a moment ago in this podcast, is to lead myself well.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean is to try to be the kind of leader who loves those that I have the privilege of leading well. I mean, loves them so well that they know that they're being loved well, and who leads with integrity and character and discipline so that those who are following really love, respect, look up to me as a leader. And everything else that I've learned about leadership seems to be easy compared to this
one. Compared to that.
Yeah, this one is number one by a landslide for me.
Yeah. The, you know, you've planted a church not far from one of our largest
military bases in the world.
In the world. So that gives you still a chance to pastor and minister to those who are in service. And so you're in this place where you're church planning, you're pastoring people who are in the military, and you're in the classroom. So you're helping to develop future pastors who are attending a seminary and trying to get prepared for ministry. What would be, and this is a question that I've asked everybody we've interviewed this summer, what's your greatest hope for this next generation?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, because I mentioned those three spheres because I'm sure you have a very different perspective on that because you're operating in so many different environments.
Yeah. I am unashamedly Christian in my approach to leading and teaching in the classroom. So I'm not going to hold anything back when I'm in the classroom on this one. And by the way, I had the privilege of teaching some incredible leaders who are the future of the church, and the future of the church is right now for most of them. But I'm in the military. I'm in a military community. I have a chance to see guys and gals that are being sent all over the world. Literally, the U.S. Marine Corps, U.S. Army are sending them everywhere in the world. And people from all over the world come to this military base, Fort Benning, Georgia, right outside of our church. And they'll spend 6 months or a year learning from the U.S. military. So my goal as a leader is to help invest in the next generation, believing with every fiber of my being that this next generation has the capacity and the ability to complete the Great Commission.
Mm.
My challenge that I'm placing in the classroom, my challenge for my family, my challenge for my church, the challenge for the military community that I'm in, the believers, is to look at them and to say, I am convinced we now have the generation that has the reach and the resources to complete the Great Commission in our lifetime. And if we can do it, if we have the reach and the resources, then we need to go, we need to go after it. We need to be the generation that says, we're going to do this thing and it's going to happen before I'm an old man.
Yeah. Boy.
So that's the challenge that I'm placing in front of everybody, to include the listeners of this podcast.
Yeah. What a hope. From a social science perspective, looking at all these different generations, you know, social scientists are saying we're moving into a more tribal era in which people are not associating based on their age, but based on their preferences. And could it just be just like the Lord, that he was for such a time as this, that he's going to sow the seeds of revival? I tell our students as often as I possibly can, my hope is that they will see a great awakening of some kind, that there will be a revival that will be a history making event. And like you said, we have the tools and the resources and the reach. We just got to have the want to.
That's right.
We got to have our motivations right.
Brent, I'll tell your listeners something that I've told you almost every year. This is the only event that I will go back to year after year after year. Every time somebody else invites me back a second time, I tell them, you know what? I got a lot of other things on my plate. I'm busy. But the reason that I come back is because I'm convinced that the folks in SLU are different. And I really believe this is the kind of men and women that will accomplish the Great Commission. I think I get a privilege of looking them in the eyes when I'm here in 201 in DC, because I think this is the generation that has the will to do it.
Yeah.
Not just the reach and the resources, but like you just said, says, okay, we're going to do it no matter what it costs. We're going to figure this one out and we're going to do it.
Amen. Gosh, amen. Well, first of all, thank you. And the second of all, thank you. So as we come to the end, I want to ask some rapid fire questions.
Fire away.
Kind of just general, helpful questions. What's a good book you've read recently, maybe in the last year, that you would recommend?
Yeah. Well, Bonhoeffer's, Eric Metaxas's book on Bonhoeffer. I think pretty much every Christian ought to read that book.
Yeah. Yeah. Great one. Yeah. I've actually read it a couple of times and I kind of had to read it for some research that I did right. for my dissertation.
Right.
What's something that you're personally looking forward to? What is a leader? Okay. There's all these big ideas we've discussed, but what gives you life? What refreshes you?
I'm now at the stage of life where I get a chance to sit back and to watch people that I've invested in step into the limelight. And I look forward to watching them grow and to lead well and to just knock the ball out of the park. So it's a beautiful thing to sit back and to see guys and gals that you invested in 10 years ago starting to take that and run with it.
Probably being a granddad's pretty cool too.
It is.
Yeah, that's kind
of
fun.
Hey, let me tell you a secret. let me tell you a secret about being a granddad that nobody told me. The best part about it is watching my son and daughter turn into a mom and a dad and watching how they change. Hey, grandkids are pretty cool, but watching what they do to our children, it's priceless.
That's incredible. I'd never thought about it that way before. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received? That may be an easy or hard question. I don't know.
No. The best piece of advice, I think the best quote that I've ever heard is from John Wayne. I try to live my life by this quote.
John Wayne.
Yeah, his quote was, "Life is hard enough. It's a lot harder if you're stupid. So just don't be stupid. Don't do stupid." So that's the quote that I try to live my life by. That's the advice that I try to follow.
It's an incredible quote. That is an incredible quote. I used to work in a lumber yard and our foreman would say every day, "Hey, you're all stupid. Every one of you. You wouldn't be here if you weren't." I'm like, first of all, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for the motivating speech, boss.
He would say, and you're all one step away from stupid. If you take that step today, I'll fire you. So I've said the best piece of advice. It's funny, you said best advice I ever received is you're one step away from stupid.
Right.
Don't take that step.
That's what John Wayne is basically saying. Look, life is hard enough. Why do you have to make it worse?
Don't make it worse. What a great quote. And what a great word to end on. Jeff, thank you so much, sir. Dr. Strucker, PhD, thank you for your service. Thank you for training this next generation of pastors. Thank you for being an example with church planting. Thank you for caring, continuing to minister to our men and women, and they're going to serve in the armed forces around the world. And so, and thank you so much for giving your time today.
Yeah. Brett, thanks for your friendship, man, and allowing me to be around these amazing folks that come to SLU.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, thanks for listening, guys. This is an incredible opportunity. We come to you every Thursday. If this is the first time that you've listened, we'd ask that you drop a little comment down there. There is some options to rate. We only prefer the 5-star options. Anything else we just choosing to believe that that's not of the Lord. I'm just kidding. But leave a comment, leave a rating, follow us at SLU Lead, and we look forward to seeing you next time. God bless.